This is the supposedly true story of a team named Anansi and his friends who went on a camping trip in Huntsville, Alabama. It tells the creepy story of how the group headed down into the woods for their trip in two trailers armed with camping supplies. When they arrive at the camp, the group can't help but notice the air has a strange metallic smell to it. They think nothing of it and carry on. A young boy and his father, who is wielding a shotgun, stumbled upon the group and warned them about an animal in the woods and asks if his son, named Tanner, can hang out with them. The group accepts him and they all carry on with their fun. As it begins to get dark, Tanner says he wants to head up to his father's house to ask if he can stay and camp with the group. And so, Anansi's cousin, Rooster, and a girl go with him. Then the smell returns. It's described in the story as a really nasty coppery smell, like right after you had a nosebleed and it stopped. But this time, it's stronger than before. Later on, all of a sudden, Tanner, Rooster, and the girl return running into the clearing, shouting for everyone to get into the trailers. They're petrified. Rooster is crying and the girl is just staring numbly out of the window. The group explained that they had gone back to Tanner's house to speak to his father. They had refused his dad's offer to take the rifle for protection and had begun walking back to the camp. As they ventured further into the woods, they were aware that there was something in the hedges to the right of them. The girl had flashed her flashlight and they had seen the figure of a man with his back turned to them. So they ran. And as they told the story, the eerie smell came back and filled the cabin. After a few hours, the group worked up the courage to leave, and everyone tried to continue having fun until at around 1 a.m, as the group told ghost stories around the campfire, the smell returned. This time it was sickly strong and even caused one of the girls to vomit. They darted back into the trailer and staked out for a while with the group cooking sausages on the stove to take everyone's mind off the terrifying things that were going on outside. There had been 3 4-packs of sausages, 12 in total, and after the group had eaten, one of the younger cousins got up to fetch a second helping when he complained that someone had stolen the remaining sausage. That's when the girl that had been out with Rooster and Tan just start screaming,
"Oh Jesus! Oh Lord, get it out!"
Or so the story says. She's shivering and crying, and then it dawns on the cousin standing up what is wrong. Him and I glance around the room and we feel my heart sink. I run the fuck out of the cabin and the girls run with us. The trailer door is banging against the side of the trailer as everyone runs out of the cabin. One of my cousin's friends asks us what the fuck was wrong. I started counting us. There's only 11 now. I shit you not, my cousin verified. There had been 12 people in the cabin. But being that everyone didn't know each other really well, no one had noticed the whole time that there was an extra person. So, that is a story about
a stinky sausage thief.
Yes, known as the Goat Man.
wait, you remember Jim Brewer doing Goat Boy?
Oh yes, Goat Boy. That was that Saturday Night Live?
Yeah. Back in the 90s.
He might be scarier than the Goat Man. The Goat Man story was a story that was originally told on Reddit, and as I really paraphrased much of the story. Took out big chunks of it, and it actually continues on after this. But the Goat Man is apparently a creature that exists in different parts of the southwestern United States, part of the Midwest as well. He is not solely what we're going to talk about tonight on Disquietude. No. We're going to talk about cryptids and cryptozoology, and I thought that was an interesting one to start with because it wasn't like Bigfoot or Loch Ness or any of the major cryptids that we know and love. We're gonna talk about, but we're actually back, and we're back in the studio recording.
Yeah,
it's just me and Allie tonight, and we're sitting about 6 feet away from each other, doing our proper social distancing, maybe a little longer than that, but I didn't want to subject you guys anymore to us recording over Skype. I wanted to give our future episodes the proper amount of auditory love that they deserve. So we are back. For those of you that are also back and stuck with us through our nearly 2 month hiatus. Thank you very, very much. So now we'll be back on our regular schedule and we can get to back to giving you guys the creeps every week. We'll try and keep it to every Wednesday, just like before. But we're back.
Thanks for being so patient.
Yes. Tiffany will be back next week as well. We also have some people in our, I'm not going to call it employ because we don't make any money on Disquietude, yeah. But we've got a few people helping us do research now that's going to make it a whole lot easier to bring you guys content in the future, because one of the things that we have to do throughout the week is research the whatever topic, and the more people that we have researching, the easier it is for us to do these episodes. So if you are interested in being one of our research team members, then just reach out to us via email, disquietude000@gmail.com, or go to our website, www.disquietude.net. Go down to the contact us section and just say, hey, I want to be a research team member, and we will gladly bring you on. So, Allison.
I'm sorry. I was just captured in. So we're all aware of the Mothman, right?
Yeah, I'm aware of the Mothman through that terrible movie that came out. Maybe it's older than my daughter, so maybe like 18, 17 years ago.
Yeah, it had to be like what, 99-ish?
I think maybe 2000.
Yeah, like somewhere
2000, in that. 2000, 2001.
Somewhere in that bracket.
And I remember seeing the trailer thinking, holy shit, this is going to be scary. And it was not. But the actual legend of the Mothman, it's scarier
terrifying.
Than that movie. Yeah, there was a lot that they left out of that movie. I don't know why.
So where, hold on, because this is, I have an update to the Mothman. And I can't remember. Let me see if I can. Okay. So the original Mothman, it was around the mid 60s in West Virginia that the sightings started. And he was said to, they called him the Mothman, even though people couldn't really see what he looked like. It was mostly like a black winged creature with big glowing eyes was always like the common thread. And the first time somebody reported seeing him, or at least that it's recorded somewhere, it was these people driving down the road and they were going really fast, like 60 miles an hour. And this creature was able to keep pace with them and even came up like beside the car from time to time. And the Mothman theory, or the Mothman legacy, gets really strange and really convoluted, because there's also like an alien man that is seen at some point in time that comes. Yeah, he comes out of this like cigar shaped aluminum tube, and he apparently interacted with more than just one person. But you know, there were like sightings of the Mothman. People were getting, there was like a rash of pink eye from anyone that actually saw the Mothman. It got really crazy, and it all culminated in the destruction of this bridge, which is in the movie, The Mothman Prophecies. But all that being said, there have been more recent sightings as of 2011 in Chicago, where people in Chicago have started to see the Mothman. So starting in 2011 and peaking in 2017, sightings of a Mothman-like creature began surfacing all over Chicagoland. It still remains unknown whether Chicago Mothman is a subspecies of the West Virginia Mothman or the same species, or whether it is perhaps just a heron that caught in a garbage bag. Yeah, if you're confusing those.
So here's the thing about, and this is something that we're going to come back to as we talk more about cryptids and cryptozoology, but the Mothman legend goes all the way back to the 60s. That was the 1966, I think, was the first reported sighting. Yeah. It wasn't until 1975 that the myth became widespread, thanks to the book,
yeah,
The Mothman Prophecies. So here's the thing. Let's say the Mothman was real. He'd be fucking old now. If someone saw him as recently as 2017, he'd be old, right?
I mean, yeah. Right?
So either he's, you know, he can age like a tortoise, or he has offspring. But if he has offspring, wouldn't we be seeing more of them?
Like little moth people?
Like, yes. They're like pet for the black eyed kids. Yeah.
Yeah. You would think, because insects, they lay like clutches, right? So like,
right, yeah.
It would be like 100 tiny moth people.
Yeah, I don't know. Mothman, that's one of those things, like, I would stay out of the woods if someone was like, hey, man, let's go to West Virginia, dude, and camp. And I'd be like, hold up. Mothman supposedly lives there. I don't want to meet Mothman. I don't want to find out if he's real. I don't want to be driving down the road. And
well, especially since, according to like the Mothman prophecies and stuff like that, he's like a harbinger of.
Right. If you see him. And that's what the movie tried to generate this tension through that. Like, hey, oh, you saw the Mothman? Oh,
you're going, yeah.
You're fucked. So I don't want to see Mothman. He's a pretty scary legend. Someone needs to do a proper horror movie on the Mothman.
Well, so if you actually dig into the, like, the lore of it, it's pretty fucking crazy. There's a story here that says, we were watching and observing as the moon began its transit when we heard a very loud scream. This sounded like squeaky truck brakes that squeal when you're pressing hard on them. At first we thought that's what it was, maybe a CTA bus or a big truck with brakes that needed changing. We heard it again. This time it lasted about 3 seconds, whereas the previous sound was brief. I looked up to see a large object flying low over the docks that stick out into Burnham Harbor from across the water. This object looked like a large black bat, but it also had humanoid features such as pronounced arms and legs. And this was from August 21st, 2017.
Wow.
Yeah. But I'll say this. This happened to me in real life the other day. A couple weeks ago, I was over at my mom's, and I was walking out into the parking lot because I was on a phone call. And as soon as I ended the call, I could hear this owl like the whole time, you know, just like a hoot hoot owl, whoop, 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 you know, and I was like, oh, that's cool. And then I heard a second one, and then I heard the craziest fucking noise I've ever heard in my life. And I thought they were fighting. I was like, am I hearing a fucking owl fight right now? Which I'll, you know what? I have it recorded.
Wow.
Yep.
See, we bring you the goods here in Disquietude. We don't just tell you about owl fights.
It is a straight up owl fight. Yeah. So that, but it sounds very quiet. It was extremely loud.
Yeah.
And it sounded like kookaburras. Like, have you ever heard like
yes.
a mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I was like, what the fuck are there like kookaburras in the fucking there's a biologist that I'm friends with, and I sent it to him, and I was like, is this an owl fight? And he was like, no, actually it's more like an owl party. So I was like, oh
okay.
That's kind of rad. Like,
yeah, okay.
They were like, oh, what's up?
So there are some cryptids actually that aren't that scary to me. People think cryptozoology is monsters. And I guess for the most part, that's true. But there are some. So there's actually one that has always fascinated me, been fascinating to me. I hope I pronounced this correctly. Mokela Bembe. It is essentially a dinosaur that lives in the Congo River Basin. And it was first sighted back in the early 1900s. And the local people in Zimbabwe actually think it's a spirit. It essentially looks like a giant brontosaurus. I mean, There's such thing as a giant brontosaurus. Isn't that kind of redundant? It looks like a brontosaurus.
Are you sure it's not the pony-sized one?
Yeah, it could be a little one, but it says that back in the early 1900s, well, first of all, natives in Rhodesia described it as a half elephant, half dragon. And then a famous naturalist, Joseph Menges, said that he's the one that said he thought it might have been a dinosaur. And other sources said that they noticed a lack of hippopotamus in the area. And the natives said that there was a large creature that was killing hippopotamus that lived in the lake.
Man.
Now, I don't know how much you guys know about hippopotami.
They're fucking brutal.
Yes, they are very dangerous. They're not cute. They're not hungry, hungry hippos.
Short story, my friend and I used to, it was like an inside joke that we would talk about murder hippos. And for her, like, bachelorette party or something, I gave her this tiny blood-covered hippo.
Which was probably appropriate.
Well, yeah, because there's been incidents where they've chased people down and they, like, one of them bit into this guy's head, which I don't know if you've ever seen one eat a melon, but it could
crush it, yeah.
But its tooth is like a bowling pin, and it was just impaled in this guy's skull. Like, they're vegetarians, but this is the shit they can do. Like, yeah, why?
And they're huge. They're like the size of a small SUV.
Yeah. You know?
And apparently, a Mokele Bembe is just eating them for fun. Like, man, I'm hungry. Let me see what's down here in hippo land. But I always thought, though, that would be a cool one to see. Like a dinosaur. Like an actual dinosaur. Not like, here's a guy, he's half goat. He's got a goat head. That, to me, that sounds kind of ridiculous and obviously fake. Like, really? It's a dude with a goat head? But if someone's like, hey, man, that's a fucking dinosaur that eats hippos. I'm like, really? I want to see that. I want to see the dinosaur eating, or the hippo eating dinosaur in the Congo River Basin. Hippo eating
dinosaur.
I want to see that. But there hasn't been any reported sightings of Mokele Bembe in decades and decades. And so a lot of people believe that it is just a myth told by the natives. They did go to the lake in 2018, a film crew and some scientists, to try and find DNA of, you know, any DNA that would have been alien, not indigenous to the area.
Hmm.
They did not find the dinosaur, but they did find a strain of green algae, which had never been discovered.
Wow.
Yeah, so hey, it wasn't a fruitless expedition.
No, but just imagine adding that to your resume.
Yeah.
I found some algae.
Also, there were a group of Congo pygmies who in 2001 identified Mokele Bembe as a rhinoceros.
But rhinos don't fucking eat hippos.
They don't eat hippos. I don't know. But a lot of people believe that it's a mixture of mythology and folk memory from a time when rhinoceroses were common in the area. That's from Wikipedia, by the way. So that's one I'd like to see. I don't want to see Mothman. I'd like to see the hippo eating dinosaur, though.
I like the ones that give me the creeps, though. Like, did you ever see the movie Brotherhood of the Wolf?
Oh, yes. I love that movie. We're talking about the French movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I loved that movie because it had martial arts in it. I'm a big martial arts fan. And Mark Dacascos plays, I hope I pronounced his last name right. I should know.
Oh, yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, so, but I actually have it. It's over there on DVD somewhere. But yes, Brotherhood of the Wolf. I didn't know what kind of movie it was. Like, yeah. Is this a werewolf movie or is it a martial arts movie or what? Because
it was very, what's the word, esoteric.
Yes.
You know, there was a lot of like trippy shit going on in that movie, just aside from like the actual mystery that they're trying to get down to. Yeah. So anyway, it was actually based on the Beast of Givaudan.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a series of murders, we'll call them murders, attacks in France, where the people that, all of the victims pretty much had their throats ripped out. And he killed quite a lot of people 210 attacks, resulting in 113 deaths.
Wow.
It got so much traction that the King of France at the time actually rewarded these children who had fought off the beast with like rocks and stuff. He rewarded them all like monetarily and like basically set them up for life. Like that's how much notoriety it had picked up at the time. So people that saw it, let me go to its description. So
by the way, the drawing for this thing, have you seen the drawing that gets floated around for this thing?
For the beast?
Yeah.
It looks like a lion wolf.
It looks ridiculous.
Yeah, it looks really good. It's got a really long tail and the body of a lion, but then the face of a wolf. It's crazy. So it says, descriptions of the time vary, and reports may have been greatly exaggerated due to public hysteria, but I would say 113 deaths in a very tiny little area. Yeah. That's a, and they're brutal deaths. You know, right. They're not cute.
Yeah, and one second. I want to make it clear. These deaths actually happened. It's not like other myths with cryptids. Oh, man, I heard... hippos are getting eaten or whatever. These are verified,
documented.
Like, yeah, like these people died and
their
throats
got ripped the fuck out. Right. Yeah, and people came across the bodies. So it says, described as a wolf with a tall, lean frame capable of taking great strides. It had an elongated head similar to that of a greyhound with a flattened snout, pointed ears, and a wide mouth sitting atop a broad chest. The beast's tail was also said to be notably longer than a wolf's, with a tuft at the end. The beast's fur was described as tawny or russet in color, but its back was streaked with black with a white heart-shaped pattern on its underbelly. So many people saw it. Many times they thought it was killed, and yet the attacks continued. This was something that went on for quite a few years until it just suddenly stopped. So
there's no way, though, because a lot of the reports from survivors assumed that it was the beast.
Yeah.
But
it could have just been a wolf.
It could have just been a wolf, right. Wolves generally don't do this. We've seen tigers and lions when they get in. I know it sounds like movie trope, but it's true. They get a taste for human blood, then they...
Well, because humans are easy to kill.
They're easy prey.
We
correct.
Don't run that fast, exactly. And our necks are super soft. So it's like, oh, there's that, you know, that thing that I can catch in 5 seconds.
Exactly. But wolves typically don't, because the average human is bigger than a wolf.
Yeah.
Unless they're really, really hungry, unless they're just starving to death and they're like, okay, it's either you or me, dude. But
even then, I don't think any of the corpses were eaten.
No, exactly. They were just killed, which, you know what I'm thinking. You're thinking what I'm thinking.
It's a person.
Yeah. And it's like, man, I got to cover this shit up. I know what I'll do. Rip out some throats. Hey, man, it was a wolf, I swear.
I'm going to put this wolf pelt on. Right,
yeah.
And then attack this lady that I don't like.
Yeah, that's my... Because the attacks just stopped. Like we see with serial killers. They serial killers either kill till they get caught, or they just like, okay, I'm just kind of done. Or they die and they never get caught. Or whatever. Whereas animal attacks, like if you guys have ever seen The Ghost in the Darkness, now that is not a cryptid story, so, but it is a very, very good story, real life story about...
Wasn't Sean Connery in that?
No, Michael Douglas was in that.
Oh, really?
He played Remington, the famous hunter, and so was Val Kilmer. He was in it. But it's about two man-eating lions, the man-eaters of Savo, they were called, in which they terrorized humans that were trying to build a railway in India, I believe. But they were very smart, highly intelligent, and they killed many, 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 many people. And the only reason they stopped is because they hunted them down and killed them. That was the only reason that they stopped. Else, they would have just kept killing and killing and killing and killing and killing.
Oh, yeah.
Unlike this, the beast... he just got bored. That's what makes me think he was a person. He just got bored.
I know. Like, all right. Well, also that he didn't eat anybody. Like,
did not eat.
Animals don't kill generally for the enjoyment of it. They're hungry. Right.
Plus, you know, like Ali said before, there have been a lot of reports of people that they killed it. Like, hey, I killed it. Yay. Yeah. Rejoice. And then more people start getting killed. So, and really what was happening was people were just killing wolves, I think.
Poor little wolves.
Just, yeah.
They're like, I just wanted to eat your sheep.
Okay. Let's talk about the most famous cryptid of all time. Well, there's two. There's Bigfoot, which I never found to be particularly interesting personally.
No.
But then there's Loch Ness. I've always found Loch Ness to be interesting. And the reason I wanted to talk about him is because our old buddy, Aleister Crowley, the Loch Ness Monster was apparently his pet for some time when he lived on the lake.
On the loch.
Scottish Gaelic. So for the like two people who don't know who Loch Ness is, or Nessie, part of Scottish folklore, and it is a monster that is said to inhabit Loch Ness, which is a lake in the Scottish Highlands. Now, it is described really as the only part of it that anyone's ever seen, and that is the long neck and the head, which that description mainly seems to come from a 1934 picture that was apparently taken that has now been proven to be
The super grainy one.
A hoax, right. However, there have been a lot of reported sightings of Loch Ness in the last almost 100 years now, in the last 87 years. 1933 was the first sighting of Loch Ness. I've always thought Nessie is the nickname for the Loch Ness Monster. Nessie was particularly fascinating because I actually believe that at one point Nessie was real. I think that she or he, but typically Nessie is referred to as a female. A lot of people believe that dinosaurs existed in the loch for some time and then they finally died off. Something having to do with the nature of the loch itself, it was able to preserve slightly evolved dinosaur-esque species for a certain amount of time. But there hasn't been any reported sightings in quite a while. And they've actually done expeditions under the loch to try and find if anything at all even lives there, and they haven't been able to find anything. The problem is that the loch is very murky and dark. There's really no way to see, so they've had to use sonar, and so far they haven't been able to find anything, not even a fossil record.
Well, I was just trying to figure out when is the last time that somebody even saw Nessie. And I guess in 2018, researchers did a DNA survey of Loch Ness, just like they did with that other dinosaur. And they didn't find any plesiosaur, no signs of plesiosaurs or any other large animals, but they did find the presence of lots of eels. I know.
Darn.
So this whole time, maybe it was just like a really big fucking eel.
Oh, well, there was in 2014, an Apple Maps satellite image appeared to capture what looked like a large creature under the water. There were a bunch of scientific explanations, floating wood ripples, but, that was pretty cool, I thought. And then, actually if you Google Street View, that location, you can see, you know, they've like added like a little fake Nessie for you to see from Street View, which is nice. Kind of cool. But I've always thought that was just a fascinating cryptid, Loch Ness Monster, especially Aleister Crowley. All right, hang with me here, listeners. By the way, if you have not listened to our episode, 6 Degrees of Aleister Crowley, which is one of our very first episodes, I think our third or fourth.
Yeah, it was pretty early on.
Go back and listen to it. It's a bit long episode, it's about an hour and a half, but it's a great episode. And then you can really see the progression of how much we sucked then and how good we are now. But we did an episode about Aleister Crowley and how his influence is still, you know, permeates down to society today in ways you would never think. I mean, it is Aleister Crowley influenced Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory even has connections to Aleister Crowley. Yeah. But Aleister Crowley lived on a house that was on the lock that apparently while he lived in this house, he would do magic rituals. And when I say magic rituals, Aleister Crowley was not just some dude that like dabbled. This is what he did. This is what he was known for. Although he was a mountaineer. And a poet. But this is what he was known for. He was known for, and I don't mean like the occult. I don't mean like some like 80s satanic panic shit. I mean like this guy had...
He had pyramid hats.
Yeah, he had studied ancient Egyptian mythology rituals to a point where it was said that he could open portals to other dimensions and things like that. So one of the things that he claimed was that he could summon the Loch Ness Monster at will. His house was literally like on the banks of the Loch Ness, and he claimed that he could just summon this creature at will, which I always thought was amazing. And what if he brought Nessie in through one of his interdimensional portals?
Maybe that's how it disappeared too.
Could be. And he sold the house.
There's no DNA left.
He sold the house to the band leader of the, was it the Who?
I was like Led Zeppelin or the Who.
I don't remember. Yeah, we have to go back and listen to that episode.
Yeah.
Although people who bought the house after Aleister Crowley claimed that, you know, there was never any kind of weird stuff going on. Some people did. Some people said that there was weird magic shit going on there, but none of them ever saw the Loch Ness Monster.
I feel like at some point in time we did talk about the weird things that happened in that house.
We did. It was during that episode.
Yeah.
We talked about it. But I kind of like the theory that Aleister Crowley opened an interdimensional portal, accidentally brought the Loch Ness Monster over, and had it as a pet, and then just abandoned Nessie when he sold the house. When he's like, you know,
Sarah McLachlan saying in the arms of an angel.
He's like, he's like, all right, I can't take care of this thing. And then she died lonely.
Oh, I don't like that ending.
That's what happened. You have to accept that, Allie. That Aleister Crowley abandoned. Oh, boy.
All right. So, are we going to talk about the big feet?
Oh, man. Do we have to talk about Bigfoot?
I feel like, okay. So, I do have a story about the big feet.
Okay. Let's do it.
It's not a personal story, it is a family story. And I think everybody, I mean, we don't really need to get into, there's a bunch of different names for the big feet. There's like Sasquatch and was Yahweh or something. Am I pulling that out of my ass right now?
Isn't that God's name in the Bible?
I think it is. Shit. Sorry. I mean, y'all know I'm going to hell.
Well, the Yeti is kind of based on, that same mythology, the Yeti, Sasquatch, Bigfoot.
Skunk ape is one that I'm thinking of. Okay, so at any rate, there was a story that my mom used to like to tell me about my aunt. And anybody that's met my aunt, she's kind of a Karen. And she's not kind of, she very much is. She's pretty awful to be around. Oh, but she's not the type of person that would be like, hey, guess what? I have a Bigfoot in my backyard. Like, that's some shit that you would never expect to come out of her mouth.
Right.
So a long time ago, she lived off the coast of Florida. And this is kind of like still an underdeveloped area where she lived. And there were a lot of woods. And her house backed up right up to the woods. And She would say that at like 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, periodically, at least, you know, 3 to 4 times a week, she would hear rumbling and stomping outside her house in the backyard. And it got to the point where she finally started to like poke around back there to see what this giant thing was in her backyard that was making so much noise at night. And she found like skulls and spines of other animals.
Wow.
Yeah, just like littered about on the ground where I guess this was like not its hunting grounds, but where it would like take whatever it had hunted to, like it would just take it there to eat. And so that was just like it became like an accepted part of her life of living on this property, was just waking up at 3 a.m. to hear all this stomping and then to clean up the bones.
Holy
later.
Crap.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's an insane story.
Yeah. Like it starts out very mundane and then you're like, whoa. Like,
wow. Okay. Yeah.
There's a lot of Floridian stories of skunk apes.
I bet. Bigfoot, for the other two people who have never heard of Bigfoot, according to Wikipedia, people describe it as a large, hairy, muscular, bipedal, ape-like creature, roughly 6 to 9 feet, covered in hair described as black, dark brown, or dark reddish. The enormous footprints for which the creature is named are claimed to be as large as 24 inches long, that's 60 centimeters for our people not from the United States, and 8 inches, 20 centimeters wide. Some footprint casts have also contained claw marks, making it likely they came from animals such as bears, which have 5 toes like humans do.
Oh, yeah.
And claws. So here's the thing about Bigfoot to me. Pop culture, Bigfoot is probably the most popular cryptid besides the Loch Ness, but I mean maybe in North American folklore,
yeah,
he is definitely the most popular. But because of that, he's been portrayed as like not like a monster. Maybe I just remember Harry and the Hendersons.
I was gonna say, are you talking about Harry and the Hendersons?
Yeah, there was a whole man for our younger listeners. There was a movie, an 80s movie called Harry and the Hendersons, in which.
With John Lithgow.
John Lithgow, in which a family come across Bigfoot and they take him home with them and he becomes part of their family. And there was even a TV show. It became a TV show.
Yeah, I loved both of them.
And the thing is like, once you do that to an entity, he can never be scary again.
No, because he was hairy.
He was hairy.
The trope of get out of here, go away, totally came from Harry and the Hendersons.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Where John Lithgow's trying to shove Harry away, and so he starts screaming things at
him. Yeah, not a bad movie, actually. Bad TV show. The TV show is bad. But whenever I think of Bigfoot, that's what I think of. I'm like, okay, dude from Harry and the Hendersons. And plus, there's been actually quite a bit of video and photograph evidence of Bigfoot, but it all just looks janky as hell.
Yeah, it does.
There's the most famous picture of Bigfoot is from a film called the Patterson Gremlin film. It was footage that was shot in 1967 in Northern California. And to be fair, it's never been debunked. It's never been debunked and never been claimed to be a hoax, but it's a video of what appears to be Bigfoot just walking.
It's
past
never been debunked.
The camera, no.
Yeah, I would think by now, because this is one that
there have been many, many people who claim to have debunked it, but to me, to truly, truly debunk something, you must have evidence
that it's fake.
Like, for instance, if someone said they've never found DNA evidence of Loch Ness or any non-indigenous life forms at the Loch, therefore it's probably myth, that information based on everything else we know about Loch Ness Monster, I would say, okay, you've debunked that.
It's pretty debunked.
But to say, well, this just isn't real because it looks like a guy in a costume, which it does. But this was also in 1967. Special effects weren't like they were in...
No, if you try to watch a movie from back then, like with Bigfoot in it, it's going to look like shit.
Now, it's just that the evidence against the video is very convincing but circumstantial. Circumstantial evidence does not mean that it is not valid. It just means that it's circumstantial. The evidence against it is pretty valid. Roger Patterson, who was one of the people that shot the film, he died in 1972, by the way. But apparently, before filming this video, he had gone to Hollywood in 1964 and visited a guitar songwriter named Jerry Lee Merritt. And they were trying to sell some kind of toy invention. And then Merritt later became Patterson's neighbor and helped him collaborate on this Bigfoot documentary. And they tried to, they actually shoot a Bigfoot movie. He wanted to use that Hollywood connection to make an actual Bigfoot movie and couldn't get the funding for it. And then bam, here's a video of Bigfoot and they get famous from it. That's pretty much the basic extent of the circumstantial evidence against the video being real.
I would say the biggest like debunking thing for Bigfoot though is how many fucking shows they've had at this point where people go out in the woods and spend all this time trying to find Bigfoot and nobody has ever, there's not been any other comprehensive video evidence.
I feel like, and this is the case with almost all cryptids, I feel like there would be a greater amount of encounters if cryptids were real, particularly Bigfoot, unless he can live to be 200-300 years old, like we stated with Mothman or Goatman or whoever, they would have offspring. And if they have offspring, then they would multiply and we'd see more of them. But,
and even if it's a thing where it's like, oh, well, you know, Bigfoot, they're so good about hearing people because we're so loud and they're hiding and stuff. Well, their kids are probably going to be. Have you ever interacted with a puppy or a kitten? Right. They're not. You know,
the only time, so for the most part, every major species has been discovered on terrestrial Earth, with the exception of insects. And that's mainly because they're so small and they can exist in places that we can't get to, and underwater life for obvious reasons, because we can't, you know, get as deep as we would need to survey some of that life. So I feel like. Like a giant bipedal ape in North America. Oh, we would have found that out by now, I think.
Yeah, even just with the level that we tear things down, you would at least find like its skeleton or something.
Yes, I'm not. That's why Bigfoot just seems obviously fake to me. I do want to talk about one, and this is a well-known cryptid that is not obviously fake to me. I want to talk about the monster that Johnny Depp fought.
What?
The Kraken.
Oh. I totally forgot about that part.
Jack Sparrow fought the Kraken, which the depiction of the Kraken in the Pirates of the Caribbean movies was awesome. I loved it.
I mean, those were good movies.
Those were all 20 of them. I think I've seen the first three and I just quit. It's like,
yeah, I didn't.
I think there's what, eight? There's another one coming out.
Are there serious? I stopped at four.
Yeah. But, you know, Jack Sparrow, Depp can play Jack Sparrow till he dies. That's his role. He can, yes. But he fought the Kraken. So the Kraken is one of the oldest cryptids as far as, we'll say, since man has been able to circumnavigate the globe. And the Kraken is a sea monster. He's originally from Scandinavian folklore. He essentially looks like a giant squid. And this is why I like this one. Because giant squids actually have been discovered. And only fairly recently have they been discovered.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've been able to get cameras and submersibles down low enough to be able to see. I think it was a 50-foot squid.
Yeah, there were rumors. Because I remember when I was a kid and it was like the first time anyone had actually pulled any out from the water. And I think it was like in Japan.
Yes. They got the tentacles.
Yeah.
And they didn't get the rest of the squid, but the tentacles were like 30 feet long or something like
this. Yeah. I mean, and I was like 8 years old when
I think
happened.
They had possibly captured one that wasn't live, mm-hmm. if I remember correctly. But it just goes to show how people, when they don't have another reference point, how they view things. Just imagine you are a sailor in the 1700s and you look over the side of the ship and you see a 50-foot squid.
Yeah.
You'd be like, oh, we gotta speed the hell up.
Yeah.
Why? Dude, there's a 100-foot squid.
Or even just seeing like the tentacle, you'd be like, oh, fuck.
Right, yeah. And then you tell your boy, man, the tentacles are like 2 miles long. And he goes to shore and he tells the women at the tavern about it. And they tell the sailors that see them, and the legend spreads about this giant sea monster. Now, don't get me wrong. A 50-foot squid would probably scare the shit out of me. But if you ever looked at these depictions of the Kraken,
yeah.
he's like the size of a damn building. Yeah. And in Pirates of the Caribbean, it was you know, huge. He could
break
essentially
the ship in
right,
half.
Yeah, he could yeah. like engulf an entire ship.
But if you're like, if that's your point of reference and all you've ever seen is maybe a really big whale,
exactly,
you'd be like,
yeah.
I'm going to fucking die.
Yeah, you would be like, holy shit. The Kraken was also a major, major plot point in 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. And that's, I think, where modern pop culture got our ideas about the Kraken. But I've always thought that was a cool one because I'm certain that that is one of the... I think most cryptids... I'm not going to say based in fact, but the mythology has to start somewhere.
Yeah.
The idea of whatever this monster
is. We had to
is.
See something really fucking crazy, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think this is something that was real that just snowballed into this.
You know what makes it even cooler, though, is how I think, I don't know if it goes for all cephalopods, but I think at least octopi, which I know I'm saying that wrong. Octopuses, weren't they proved to be, they have alien DNA?
They have, yeah. So it's been shown that their DNA is not close to anything else's on Earth.
Yeah.
So for instance, most everything shares some little bit of DNA. We share DNA with bananas.
Like, I was going to say, oh, you're 96% similar to a banana.
Exactly. So. So everything shares DNA except octopi.
Yeah.
Octopi are very highly intelligent, like puzzle solving.
Yeah.
Intelligent.
There was a whole point in time where I was deep diving on the internet. This was prior to social media. So like all the time you spent was just like looking at cool shit that you liked. And I was trying to talk myself into getting a pet octopus and people would show how you give them these little capsule toys and you can put like crabs or whatever inside the capsules. And it's basically just a stimulation thing for your octopus. Because if you don't do that and take care of your octopus's intellect, they were notorious jailbreakers and they would almost kill themselves sometimes by trying to break out. And then they would get caught in your house that has no water. And then they would be choking to death by the time
you
got
out. Yeah, I guess they're great escape artists. They've been able to squeeze through in like these impossibly small crevices.
Whatever their beak fits through.
Yeah, and the Kraken is sometimes reported to be an octopus. In fact, the German word Kraken means octopus. So I guess Kraken is also an old Norwegian. Is it Norwegian or Norwegian? Norwegian. We're gonna say Norwegian.
Yeah, Norwegian.
It's an old Norwegian word for octopus, and it's also a euphemism in Swedish for whales. So maybe someone saw a giant whale.
Yeah.
If you ever seen like a humpback whale just skimming the top of the water, you don't know what the hell that.
It looks like a fucking building.
Yeah. Especially you know if it's the 1700s, you've got an animal that is literally the size of your ship. And use in humpback whales do swim towards the surface. I could see someone seeing that and being like, holy shit.
Did they do that whole thing where they like jump out and then
they breach the water?
Out.
Yeah.
And
yeah, you could probably, one of those things, I wonder if you could capsize a ship, like an old wooden 1700s
for sure.
air ship.
But can you imagine, like, back then where you would just, like, get a cold and do a bunch of cocaine about it? Like, seeing some like, I would shit my pants.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, scary to be out at the sea with that stuff. In fact, the word Kraken became taboo, as it was believed it could summon
the creatures.
Release the Kraken!
Yeah. I get it now.
So, he's one of my favorites. You know what? We should make, like, a fighting game. I'm going to start coding it tonight.
Fighting game of the Cryptid
Combat. We're going to have Kraken.
Is it going to be K's?
Yes. Oh, of course. Yeah.
Like Mortal Kombat.
Yeah. So we got Kraken, Bigfoot, Loch Ness. Yeah, I like
some
where
of
this...
them have to be in masks with, like, skimpy. I want Bigfoot to have a katana outfit, is what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We can make that happen. This game will be available on Android and iOS. Disquietude Games. That's a good point to take a break in and listen to an actual advertisement from our sponsor, anchor.fm. We'll be right back. Disquietude. And we're back. Disquietude. We are, like, really back, y'all. We're really back in the studio recording. We were talking about cryptids and cryptozoology and all of the ridiculousness. So we're not going to, like, just come out the gate creeping all out. We'll get back to the creepy stuff later. But we've been wanting to do this episode actually for a while. It's been on our roadmap.
Yeah, it's just fun.
For a while. Yeah, very, very fun episode. A lot of cool stuff. So we're not done yet. So we've talked about, okay, we've got all the big guns out of the way.
Yeah.
Bigfoot, Loch Ness, the Kraken, Mothman, Goat Man.
Oh, yeah, the big guns. Yeah. Like, go, man.
Yeah. The first stringers.
Yeah.
They're, you know, it's weird. I find that North America, we have the worst.
We do, right?
We have the worst.
The most cryptids. Boring.
Yeah, they suck. They're dumb. They're just not that scary. Although I think the one you're about to talk about, he might be a little.
He's a little.
Now, Mothman. He's pretty scary. He's got potential.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's creep potential there.
But Bigfoot, we already talked about Harry and the Hendersons. No, not really.
Can't change that in a millennial's
mind.
Now this,
I don't know if this is cryptid or not. Now there are some creatures that we're not going to talk about. Like someone said we should talk about the Bohag. The Bohag is a South Carolina myth, but it's not really, I don't consider it a cryptid. A cryptid specifically
is, what is the Bohag?
It's like a,
is it a swamp witch? Because
yeah, like a swamp witch.
Fuck
right,
yeah.
But a cryptid specifically is an animal that cryptozoologists believe to be real based on anecdotal evidence and folklore. So something like skinwalkers.
Yeah.
Or the Bohag.
Well, skinwalkers don't even fall into it either, because I remember when we were first road mapping, I was like, oh yeah, let's talk about skinwalkers. And the more I dug into skinwalkers are more in the avenue of like a person who does magic, like mm-hmm. like a witch, like, or wizard that's really powerful and like, is able to transform.
Like Aleister Crowley?
Yeah. Well, yeah. And so skinwalkers aren't necessarily, they're not really cryptids either, because it's not something that would just like happen evolutionarily,
right. Exactly.
Speaking.
Exactly. Yeah. Cryptids are specifically animals. They are supposedly real animals. Normally they're these extraordinary versions of existing animals, like we talked about with the Kraken. The Kraken was likely a humpback whale or a giant squid or something mm-hmm. that somebody saw in the 16th century and was like, holy shit, this is a monster. So, all right. So, but we're going to go back in North America for this one. What you got, Allie?
So, I looked this up just because this is a name that I've heard many, many times, and I didn't think it was all that interesting until I started to get into the lore of it. So this is the Jersey Devil. And according to popular folklore, the Jersey Devil originated with a Pine Barrens resident named Jane Leeds, known as Mother Leeds. Mother Leeds had 12 children. And when she found out she was pregnant with her 13th child, she said that the child would be the devil because apparently she was frustrated because having 13 fucking kids, ma'am, right. Get it together. So the more I read about it, the more it played out as like the omen or some shit. So it said he was born as a normal child, but then changed into a creature with hooves and a goat's head and bat's wings and a forked tail.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. And I guess it beat everyone with its tail and flew up the chimney to get away. But there are interesting sightings of this creature. So I guess Napoleon Bonaparte had a relative that is said to have seen the Jersey Devil. So there's some historic merit. There was at least a family with the last name of Leeds that ended up having 12 children. And people found that information by combing through a lot of like civil records back then. And there was a man that left his stuff to his 12 children. Joseph Bonaparte was the elder brother of Napoleon Bonaparte that said he saw the devil around 1820. But there haven't been a lot of sightings outside of the early 1900s. And it doesn't look like the Jersey Devil actually attacked anyone. It's just been weird sightings of this fucking thing.
Yeah, I think the most current sighting that I found was, well, 1951. People claimed to have seen it, and there was a corpse that was said to match the description in 1957. During 1960, people claimed they heard the New Jersey Devil. By the way, the description of this thing and the picture that accompanies it is possibly the most ridiculous
thing it's really fucking stupid
I have ever seen in my life. I don't know if I would be... So, like, if David Lynch had a pet horse...
It is very Eraserhead-y.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then maybe. I don't... So, the... Yeah. A kangaroo or wyvern-like creature with a horse or goat-like head. That, imagine a kangaroo with wings, but horse legs. Who thought of this?
Well, man.
I mean, we know where the legend began, but someone sat down and was like, okay, all right, I got it, guys. A kangaroo with horse legs, but he can fly.
It reminds me of, have you ever seen the Renaissance paintings where like the artists had never seen a real cat and they just drew like dudes' faces
whatever
on cats.
Bullshit they felt like drawing. Yeah, this... Now, the Jersey Devil actually is, he's a popular one.
Yeah.
He's the NHL team.
Now, well, so yeah, team. Yeah.
New Jersey Devils is named after the Jersey Devil. And he's been featured in video games, board games, and whatnot.
It's very popular, but as I read through like the things attributed to the devil, it's like, that could have been, who knows what that could have been. So like this report says in 1980, Wharton State Forest Chief Ranger Alan McFarland saw something that both grossed him out and stumped his wild animal knowledge, a brutal scene on a South Jersey farm where a pack of pigs had been killed. He reported that the backs of their heads were eaten and their bodies were scratched and torn. However, there were no tracks surrounding the bodies and no blood on the ground. But at the same time, like, that could have just been a crazy person too. Yeah.
And we've talked about before, a lot of these myths come from something that was real that was just misinterpreted. What could you possibly see? Yeah, I don't know about Jersey Devil.
It starts out kind of cool.
You know, the lore behind it is really in depth and good.
It could be scary. Like, it could be a scary movie. Absolutely.
You could make a real good. I think if it wasn't so ingrained in local pop culture, I mean, there's an NHL team named after him.
Yeah.
It would, I don't know if you could call it the Jersey Devil, but
you could call it like the Devil of Leeds or something.
No, yeah, exactly. I think you could do some good stuff with this. I'm going to give this one an A+. I like this one.
The lore.
Well, actually, I can't give him an A+. But he just looks too ridiculous. He just looks so dumb. I don't know. But see, that's the thing. I would be afraid if you saw this mom coming at you. You'd be like, oh, hold up. I don't want any parts of this. But you might laugh at him.
I don't know. It depends.
You might be like, you look stupid, dude. And they published this picture in the damn newspaper.
I know.
This picture ran in the Philadelphia Bulletin in January 1909. Now, who's reading the paper like, yo, Ethel, come here. Look at this
creature.
My God.
Pearl, come look at this creature.
Drawing so real. Oh, boy. Okay, I'm going to hit you with a good one.
Okay.
One, this one was not on Wikipedia.
Oh.
Yeah, so you know it's good.
Oh.
So, if it's one thing that Kaiza hates, it's spiders. So, my relationship with spiders has improved over the last few years as I get older because I realize that spiders, for the most part, perform an important function in our ecology. We live in a house that's old. Bugs get in. Spiders eat the bugs that I don't want to get in this house.
Yes.
Okay? So sometimes I'll see a spider and I'll leave it alone because I'm like, he's doing his job. He's keeping the bugs that I don't want to get in the house out of the house. So having said that, I must keep in mind that if the spider was the size of a small dog, it would kill me. It would kill all of us, actually.
Is this like an Eight-Legged Freaks reference?
Maybe. So, there is a cryptid. Africa has the best cryptids, by the way. We already talked about the Kimbe Bebe.
Yeah.
Whatever his name was. This is another one from the Congo. I'm going to butcher the pronunciation, but bear with me. Jub. Oh, boy. Oh. The J is silent. Bafofi.
Bafofi.
Yes. J-B-A-F-O-F-I. Also known as the Congolese giant spider. He is described as a large spider with a leg span of 4 to 6 feet.
Mm-mm.
They are described by Baka natives as weaving layers made of leaves and spinning a circular web between two trees. They are said to prey upon birds and other small game animals. They are described as having the appearance, the same of that, as a tarantula. They were first seen in 1938. So, one of the largest spiders known to man is the giant tarantula.
Well, there's the Goliath.
Goliath spiders.
Yeah.
Even those, typically, if one was sitting on your table from one leg to the other, about a foot.
Yeah, they're not... They're big.
That's huge. Yeah. Like, I'm pulling the shotgun out
no,
for that guy.
Aww.
Okay, but we're talking about a foot, like the largest spiders on Earth, maybe a foot across. These are 4 to 6 feet across.
But why is it eating small game and birds? That motherfucker has got to have a huge appetite, right? Like, that's sort of like...
Okay, so here's the thing. Spiders are creatures of opportunity, like every other predator. It's probably easy. I mean, the African Congo, you've got gorillas, snakes. You've got a lot of things that would be fairly difficult to kill or ensnare in a web. But like a warthog, like Timon and Pumbaa, they're fucked, bro. They're not getting away from this dude.
I don't know, man, because warthogs apparently are pretty brutal, though.
Yeah, more brutal than a damn 6 foot across spider.
I don't know. I'd have to see it. Let's key up one of those versus YouTube
videos. Yeah. Oh, he's going in the game. Bafofi is going in the game. Here's what's crazy. There is a video on YouTube that supposedly shows one.
What?
It's a night vision video.
What?
If you just look up Bafofi on camera and take it right to the YouTube video, it's like the first result. Someone's got a night vision filter. And you can see off to the right side at about 40 seconds into the video, what looks like, you know how spiders in particular, because they have eight legs, they have a certain walk that's different than other insects. Most insects have six legs. You know, arachnids have eight or six legs and two feeler or claw type things like scorpions. But spiders have eight legs that they all walk on. And so they have a very particular gait, and you can see something walk. Actually, that's a real good filter, this video. It's still hard to see in the video. There's something there, but it looks to me like it could be a spider walking. Now, we're talking, you know, a crappy night vision video. All right, come here. I want you to look at this. I'm going to skip to... Now, I want you to look over here in those trees.
Oh, it does kind of...
That looks very spidery, doesn't it?
Or salamander-y.
There is a giant salamander cryptid. I don't think he's from this region, though. But, So, first of all, giant spiders are... The idea of a giant spider goes back... I mean, a long, long time.
People don't like them.
In folklore, yes.
They're creepy.
Those of us that read Tolkien, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's.
I mean, that's a staple of like D&D.
It is. It, you know, giant. And even, I think Cthulhu, a part of the H.P. Lovecraft Cthulhu mythos, one of the elder gods was a giant spider. So it's. To me, it's not surprising that there is a cryptid that is a giant spider. However, given that the Congo is so dense and much of it has not been traversed by modern civilization, would it really surprise anyone that there are 6-foot spiders living there?
I don't like it. I don't even, it's like, I'm not a person that's super skeeved out by like tarantulas and stuff, but it just, like, the bigger it gets, the more I want it behind glass. Like,
yeah, here's the thing, like the Congo. Okay, when we think Congo, we think like this vast jungle. I mean, it is a highly populated area, and just like everywhere else in the world, there's deforestation going on, and so I would think that at some point either. There are species, like we said at the beginning of the episode, there are a lot of insect species that had not been discovered yet. Either they're being destroyed via deforestation, or a lot of times what happens to larger species is they tend to integrate with the whatever population is encroaching upon their territory. So giant spiders, I think we might would see more of that, but so far this seems... to be a pretty one. It's fairly recent. It's not like one that's like from that's not fairly recent. I mean, 1938, but whereas Loch Ness is around that same time, 1933, I think. So, but I don't know. I feel like this one could be real. I don't know. I just feel like
that was a really grainy video
though. Like, it was. I don't think that video is real. But
there is, I do have a friend that was able to find like proof of gremlins and stuff like that on YouTube.
Yeah, it's YouTube. You know, yeah, that's probably not a real video, but I don't know. Now there have been a lot of great art based on it. I'm surprised there hasn't been. I mean, there's been enough spider horror movies. I don't think we need another.
Oh yeah, there was Arachnophobia.
Great movie. Eight-legged freaks,
which is, you know, for a dumb horror movie, not bad. Oh, and Starship Troopers.
Well, those weren't spiders.
They were spiders.
They called
enough.
Them arachnids.
Yeah.
In the book, they were not arachnids. They were referred to as bugs, but they could like shoot guns.
That's kind of awesome.
Yeah.
It was already a pretty bad movie. That would have taken it. Like, bad in a good way.
There's actually a description about how the spider gets its victims. This says, many of the anecdotal tales describe the spiders digging a shallow tunnel under tree roots and camouflaging it with a large screen of leaves. Then they create an almost invisible web between their burrow and a nearby tree, stringing the whole area with a network of trip lines. Some oblivious animal that'll likely soon end up on the creature's menu will trip the line, alerting the spider. The victim will then be chased into the web.
Ah!
Okay, all right. I want you to picture this shit, listeners. Someone says, hey, let's go into the Congo jungle. It'll be fun. They have dinosaurs and shit. And you're like, yeah, I really want to see this dinosaur. And suddenly you like feel a tug at your leg. And you're like, what's this? Ugh, this is stuck to my leg. And then you see a giant fucking 6-foot spider coming towards your ass. So you run away only to end up in its web. Holy shit. That's terrifying. I want no part of that.
Also, have you ever run into like a riding spider's web? This just happened to me. That's why I'm asking.
Oh, I mean, I've run into many spider webs. It's the worst experience.
Well,
this was the
first time I ever touched a riding spider's web, and I kept forgetting that this fucking web was there, and it would be pitch black, and I walked into it like 3 times. That motherfucker, not a string budged. I am a grown person. Walked into this shit 3 times, and it was undamaged.
Yeah,
I
want no part of this. The last sighting of this was 2014. The people of the Congo say that it used to be very common, but has since become very rare. I think this might be one of those things where it was maybe exaggerated, kind of like the Kraken was. And then deforestation and population of the area kind of caused it
ran out of timon
to eat. Yeah, kind of dwindle. I mean, the descriptions of it are very detailed. The eggs are pale yellow white, shaped like peanuts. The hatchlings are bright yellow with a purple abdomen. First of all, I don't want to see no goddamn hatchlings from a 6-foot spider. Who got close enough to see that? Not me.
What if they're cute?
No such thing as a cute. No, there is a cute
no,
spider.
There is
yeah,
a cute
I've
spider.
Seen,
I was
I've seen
gonna
it.
Say, you take
I've
it back.
Seen him on the internet. He's yeah. cute. Okay, I'll give him, but he's not this guy. He is not this guy. British missionary author John Sims and his men came upon one of the creatures. His men got themselves entangled in an enormous web, and two giant spiders, which were 2 and 4 feet in length, came out of their web and attacked them. Sims was bitten, but managed to escape after shooting one of them. He subsequently developed symptoms, including a deathly pallor, several chills, swelling around the area where he was bitten, and became delirious before dropping into unconsciousness. He ultimately succumbed to these effects and died.
Oh, shit. Yeah. All right.
Holy shit. Okay, then one guy, a cryptozoologist, William J. Gibbons, was hunting for Mokele Bembe, and he came across the spiders. So he's looking for the dinosaur, which eats hippos.
Yeah.
And he came across
spiders
that kill humans. I guess he ran. Well, actually, he did not come across the spiders. I apologize. I guess he was inquiring about them with some pygmies, and they gave great detail about the giant spiders. I believe this. I believe it. I give this one an A+.
Okay, so to clarify for listeners, the term pygmy is sometimes considered a pejorative, but there's no single term to replace it. Many prefer to be identified by their ethnicity, such as the Aka, Baka, and Twa. I'm not going to try and pronounce the other ones because I will butcher the two other names, but I guess we'll just go with Aka. Because it feels weird.
pygmies, yeah.
It just feels weird.
So these pygmies told me about a giant spider, right?
Like, oh boy.
Okay, there's one last one that I have to do. For sentimental reasons.
Okay.
He is called El Chupacabra.
Oh, see, I was going to talk about the Chupacabra.
So I have to pick him because when I was in the Air Force, I had a good friend, Jose Delgado. We were stationed together in Las Vegas, and we used to joke about the Chupacabra all the time. I have no idea why. We just, like, he was like this fictional character in our heads, and we would put him in these absolutely ridiculous situations and joke about the Chupacabra. Maybe because it's kind of a ridiculous legend. And if you've ever lived in the Southwest, you hear about the Chupacabra all the time. Even on the news, it'd be like news reports, mutilated cattle. Could it be the Chupacabra? And it's like, ain't no goddamn Chupacabra. But he might be the of all the North American myths, old Chupa here, he might be the best.
Yeah.
He
gets a lot blamed on him.
Yeah. So Chupacabra literally means goat sucker in Spanish. Okay?
Oh, God.
Which we're going to call him Chupacabra because that sounds so much cooler than
goat sucker.
And here's the thing. He's very modern. He was first seen in the 90s.
Really?
Yeah. One of his first reported sightings was 1995 in Puerto Rico. Apparently, the Chupacabra will attack livestock, including goats, of course, and drink their blood. According to Wikipedia, physical descriptions of the creature vary. It is purportedly a heavy creature the size of a small bear with a row of spines reaching from the neck to the base of the tail. Eyewitness sightings have been claimed in Puerto Rico and reported as far north as Maine.
What?
Yeah, and even outside the Americas in countries like Russia and the Philippines. It says many of the reports have been disregarded as uncorroborated or lacking evidence. And sightings have been verified as coyotes affected by mange. And according to wildlife officials, the Chupacabra is nothing more than an urban legend.
So there's a book that came out in 2011 called Tracking the Chupacabra, written by Benjamin Radford. And the first person to see it was a woman named Madeline Tolentino. And going back through her eyewitness description and the fact that she had just seen the 1995 movie Species.
Wow.
He was like, oh, you're just talking about Species.
Wow. Yeah, I'd say so.
So, listeners, if you haven't seen Species, that is definitely a great 90s horror film to sit down.
Yeah,
and watch.
No, actually, it's really good.
Yeah, pretty decent.
Pretty good, actually, especially fans of, if you like Alien, it's kind of got it like a H.R. Giger-ish vibe.
Actually, I think Giger did the character design. I might be wrong on that one.
Yeah, he had, maybe it was the poster art. I don't remember. We'll look that up. Listeners, look that up. Do our work for us. So, yeah, the Chupacabra. Also, the report that the Chupacabra actually would suck these animals' blood dry was apparently never corroborated as well. It was just an assumption that was.
We should do an episode about 90s. Like, remember when they would talk about, like, aliens would exsanguinate cows and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
We should do, like, a Mythbusters thing on, like...
And that's a great idea.
Yeah, that would be fun.
So, the reason that the locals believed that it was El Chupacabra and not something else is because typically the livestock was actually not eaten.
They were just drained of blood.
Yes, just drained of blood. And now we saw this with the beast from France, but yeah. He killed human victims.
Yeah.
However, According to this reference, it says dogs and coyotes can kill and not consume the prey, either because they are inexperienced or due to injury or difficulty in killing the prey. The prey can survive the attack and die afterwards from internal bleeding or circulatory shock. Okay, I guess I'll buy that. But I would think that there would be
a lot, like if it bleeds out, there's going to be blood everywhere, right? So you can't say something was drinking its blood.
Right. I like. I get that coyotes wouldn't always be able to eat its prey because it would get away. But we're talking livestock. First
or
of all,
it could be interrupted.
Yeah. Where is it going to run to? And plus every time.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Also, we're talking like cows and shit. That's got to be a lot of fucking blood.
Like, oh, yeah.
You know, like I think you would know if something drained it or if it just got attacked.
I mean, common sense would say, it's almost always livestock that is targeted. So common sense would say, okay, we know it's coyotes or wolves or bears or whatever.
Yeah.
Out killing livestock, which is typically easy prey. And then this woman in Puerto Rico saw this great horror movie, by the way, and said, you know what? She did it.
Yeah, that bitch right there.
Natasha, what's her name? Natasha.
Oh, it starts with an R.
I'm not going to look it up right now.
Yeah.
But Natasha did it. She is El Chupacabra. In late October 2010, the University of Michigan biologist Barry O'Connor concluded that all of the chupacabra reports in the U.S. were simply coyotes infected with the parasite Scarpotes scabie, which symptoms would explain most of the features of the chupacabra.
That's mange.
Mange, yep.
Yeah.
They would be left with little fur, thickened skin, and a rank odor. He theorized that the attacks on goats occurred because these animals were greatly weakened, so they're going to have a hard time hunting. So they might be forced into attacking livestock because it's easier than running down a rabbit or deer, end quote. Okay, I'll buy that. I still want to believe in the chupacabra, though. I want to believe all of these. But, all
right, Mulder.
Yeah, I mean, I want to. Some of them, though, are so ridiculous, like Jersey Devil. Goatman. Even Mothman.
I still am kind of holding out that Mothman might be real. Just because that's the one that I think is the scariest.
Okay, here's what I think about Mothman. I don't think he's a cryptid so much as a supernatural occurrence.
Yeah.
Is what I think. You know, he is a harbinger of something terrible. If you see Mothman, something happens. Richard Gere shows up. He was in the movie, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was.
Which is terrible. We don't want Richard Gere showing up anywhere.
No, please.
No.
Stay in Hollywood.
So I don't know.
No, I think it's low key terrifying. So like the premise of the movie was that these are like observers or whatever to warn us of something horrible happening. But just thinking of something that's, you know, can see further down the timeline than you can. And it presents itself in this scary, ominous, 7-foot-tall, glowy-eyed right. thing. Like, that shit's low-key scary.
Yeah, that's scary. Yeah. that's why I'm leaning towards supernatural occurrence. An actual animal.
Yeah, no.
That's why the creatures that have been anthropomorphized, did I say that correctly?
Yeah.
But they are not, they're more ridiculous to me. Like a giant spider or a giant squid. Okay, I could see that. You know, a man who's a moth or a dude with a goat head.
It's not.
Or a kangaroo horse.
But like, what if the dude with the goat head just wanted a beer and a sausage, man? Like,
yeah, he probably just wanted to hang out.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he sounded, honestly, that story, yeah, it was kind of chill.
He sounded kind of cool.
Yeah. Sorry he crashed your party.
Yeah, they were mad because they couldn't get seconds on the sausage.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, man, who ate the extra one I was going to eat?
And he's like, oh, sorry, man.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Trying to hog up all the sausages. He sounded like a cool dude. You know, at least he didn't take more than he knew.
He took one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He knew there was enough for everyone.
Yeah.
You know,
so he's not selfish.
I'm with you there. I think Goatman gets a bad rap.
But that's not scary.
No, yeah. Goatman's not very scary to me. Giant Spider's the scariest. That's my vote. Who's your scariest? Mothman?
Oh, for sure.
Okay.
But if I had to go, like, if it had to be an actual creature, not anthropomorphized, scariest? I don't know. I guess the Kraken.
Kraken's pretty scary.
Yeah.
It's just that for the most part, we know the Kraken is not real. At least not as he's depicted in lore.
But if he were.
He'd be, yeah.
I wouldn't
want to see that. Now, I think giants, I don't even want to see a giant squid, man. The idea of a 50-foot squid actually scares the shit out of me.
Well, and their eyeballs, like, as big as your head. Like, yeah. That shit's crazy.
I don't want to see that.
Uh-uh.
I don't want to see that. I don't want to see no damn giant spiders chasing after me in a web. God, I would shit myself. Even the spider that killed that dude, it said it was only 2 feet.
Imagine, that's a big fucking spider.
That's a big fucking spider.
Also, how did it kill him? Was it sepsis?
It didn't say.
Yeah. Because that's my thing. Is like, usually spiders that big, the venom doesn't.
Yeah, I was going to say, badly. Bigger spiders do not have as much venom because they don't need.
Yeah, because they're fucking big.
They're giant. But maybe, you know, bacterial. Because imagine the fangs.
Oh, yeah.
On a fucking 2-foot spider. That shit would hurt. God damn, I don't even. You know, I take back the statement I said earlier about spiders. I was being nice, but if I see one, you're getting shot. Yeah, that's my vote for scariest cryptid. The African cryptids are the best. Man, and they're like so consistent with their stories. Like, very, very detailed. Yeah, okay, so the hatchlings have their, like, purple abdomens, and here the eggs are like peanuts, and da-da-da, and we saw the... Whereas, you know, the Jersey Devil is like, hey, man, I saw the motherfucker on I-85. Like, what?
He attacked some animals and flew away.
Yeah, I'm not buying it, so...
But, you know, it reminds me of, remember when, like, before there were confirmations of, like, green anacondas?
Right.
And those were kind of cryptid-y.
That's true.
And it was like a legend.
I looked for instances of where cryptids were confirmed real. And I really couldn't find any.
Yeah.
If anything, I found just cryptids that had been debunked. There were cases like the Kraken in which biologists said, okay, we'll give you that. It was probably this, and people thought it was something else. So I'd be real interested to hear about something like you just mentioned where the giant squid is the only one I can think of where it had been hypothesized that giant squids existed, but no one had ever found one, and then they found the carcass of one.
Well, yeah, because everything else that's like not deep ocean, you could essentially... find relatively quickly. Like, we just got to the point where we have the technology to get down to the bottom of the ocean. So.
And we're still finding fossil records all the time, actually. They just discovered a new dinosaur, I think, this past month. A young boy found the fossils for it. So they're going to name it after him and his father.
That's cool.
So, for the most part, you know, cryptids is considered a pseudoscience. No one really thinks that any of these are really real, even the giant spiders. But I'm telling you, I will not go to the Congo to visit. I won't. I kind of want to go to like the populated areas.
Oh yeah.
But a lot of people go to the Congo to go on like these expeditions in the jungle.
Oh, no, thank you.
They have guides and stuff, and I'm sure they take them to these areas that are like very like.
Even if you rule out the, you know, life-threatening giant things, like there's, you know, if you've ever watched.
Even the non-cryptid, the real things.
Yeah, like bullet ants and shit like that. Like, I don't want to fuck with that shit.
I don't want that.
Yeah, no, thank
you. I'll take my chances with the Jersey Devil.
Honestly,
yeah.
I would rather do than that. Get malaria.
Yeah. You know? All right. I think that's going to do it for us this week. It felt so good to be back in the studio once again. Thank you, everyone, for sticking with us through this hiatus. Now we are back for good. And hopefully everyone appreciates the increase, the epic increase in audio quality in this week's episode since we're recording back in the studio. Do you want to say something, Allie?
No, I just wanted to, shout out the fans that have been hitting us up. We definitely did not forget you guys at all. Just a lot going on this year.
Yeah, it's been a tough year for everyone. And I know that some people kind of rely on our podcast to be one of the things to get them through the day.
We're sorry.
Yeah, so I apologize for that. I want to give a shout out to these particular fans. Janae Jenkins, her boyfriend Diego Vasquez.
Happy birthday. We know we're late. Sorry.
Yeah. He wanted a shout out. I guess he never misses an episode, so hopefully he's still with us. Also, Patrick Sherwin, he's been one of our fans for a very, very long time. He's from the land down under.
Down under.
He is one of our super fans, and he's going to start a podcast himself. He reached out to me. He's like, hey, what are some tips? So I'm going to reach back out to you, and hopefully we'll have a partner in crime as far as podcasting goes. It's good to know that we help influence somebody else's artistic dreams. You know, someone says, hey, I really want to do a podcast too. And that's how we all start. So it feels really good to be that inspiration for other people. So I want to give those two people in particular shouts. So we'll be back next Wednesday with a fresh new episode. We'll get back to the creeps. The creepy stuff. We'll have to look at our roadmap. I'll be honest, we're not 100% sure what we want to do on the next episode, but we promise it'll be something very, very good. Also, you know who's been with us through this whole pandemic? Robert the Doll. He's still sitting up on my bar.
Oh, yeah, he was looking at me as soon as I walked in. I was like, oh, come on.
So I'm reactivating the contest. Anyone that sent a story in before is still eligible to win this doll. I'd like to give him away before Christmas, maybe as a Christmas present to someone. So if you want a chance to win, he's a replica of Robert the Haunted Doll, then just send us a story, www.disquietude.net. Go to contact us and just send us a story. It does not have to be creepy, preferably creepy, but it does not have to be creepy or scary, but preferably at least disquieting. And we'd love to feature those. I've actually started working on it. We're going to start our YouTube channel, in which we read some of these stories that have been submitted to us by our listeners. So be on the lookout for that. Those of you, make sure you follow us on Facebook and Instagram. I believe we're Disquietude Stories on Instagram. We're just Disquietude.
Disquietude Pod.
Disquietude Pod on Instagram. Yep. And we're just Disquietude. It is Disquietude Stories on YouTube and then Disquietude on Facebook. So be sure to check us out on social media. And that's going to do it for us this week. You got anything else to say, Allie?
Bye.
Bye.